I'm about to begin one of the most interesting and I guess moving series of teachings that I've ever produced on Manifest in 22 years. Beginning today in the next couple weeks, I want you to be sure and tune in because we're going to discuss something that everybody will experience at some point in your life. I'm going to be talking about seeing the angel of death on today's program. And when we get to the end of the program, I want you to stay with me because a brand new book that I've just written, and I think it's one of the most important books I've written maybe in 10 to 15 years, is going to be made available to you. Seeing the death angel. I'm going to open up with Revelation chapter 6 and verse 8, and this is how it reads. John, in his vision on the Isle of Patmos, said, "So I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him." In the King James translation, it will say death and hell, but for the word hell there, the Greek word is Hades. In this passage of Revelation chapter 6, as most of you are familiar with, is the story of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. All four of those horses are a different color, white, and there is a red horse, and there is a black horse, and then we have this one which is called pale here. Each horse has a rider on it. Many times we talk about the four horses of the apocalypse without identifying the rider. One rider is war. One rider on that horse represents a spirit bringing famine. The spirit on this one horse, which is called pale, is called death and hell or death and Hades. Now it's interesting because the Greek word pale is chloros, and it's actually a word for green. It's kind of a pale green color, which is actually the color or the appearance of a person when they are dying many times. The rider on this horse is called Death. And notice that in this passage, Hades, again, which is a spirit, is following the spirit of Death, who is also a spirit that is on this horse. Now, this is one of the first times I've ever taught what I'm about to share with you. And at the end of the program, I have a very unique personal picture of my father while he was dying that I want you to see. So I want you to follow me all the way to the end of the program. Now, from the biblical view of death, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says this, that we have a body, that we have a soul, and we have a spirit. The body at death goes back to the dust, but the spirit goes back to God. Genesis 3:19 mentions the dust when it says this to Adam. God said, "Out of the dust you were taken, dust you are, and dust you will return." And then in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7, it says this, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was," and that is when a person dies, their body decays, "and the spirit shall return to God who gave it." Paul also added this statement for our understanding about death. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 3, "To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." Now, how are we absent from the body? We are absent from the body when at death our soul and spirit leaves our body. Therefore, the body goes back to the dust, and the soul and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Now, when we talk about these men, when I talk about these spirits that are riding on these two horses in Revelation, there are various types of angels that are mentioned throughout the scriptures, and different angels have different assignments. Most angels have one main assignment. They are a guardian. They are a watcher. They are an angel that ministers. They are a praising angel, such as the cherubim and the seraphim before the throne of God. But there is also an angel of death. Now, there's a story, and from time to time throughout my teaching, I will refer back to Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 23, of the rich man who died and was taken to hell, and a beggar named Lazarus that was taken to paradise. Now, in this story, it's not a parable. It's an actual story that Jesus himself knew about that he's relating to his listeners. Now, if you notice in the story that this man, rich man, his soul is appointed to be taken to a final destination. His body is on earth. He has died. But then it says, but in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. That was his final destination. But then there's a man named Lazarus. Now, not the Lazarus that Jesus raised from the dead, but another man named Lazarus. And he was also in the area, but he was not in hell. He was in a place called Abraham's bosom. And there was a underground compartment, a lower compartment of Hades. There was an upper compartment of paradise, and they could look over and see each other. Now, I don't believe it was close, because the Bible says there was a great gulf, a far gulf. He saw Abraham afar off. When you get out of your body, people tell me you can see 360 around you when the soul and spirit comes out of the body. These are near-death experiences. And that what is way in the distance can look very close. It's like there's no distance there. And this is how this story was able to take place. Now, this rich man was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels, notice that, to Abraham's bosom. The rich man died also and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, and again, the King James will say hell, the Greek word is Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. That's the entire verse that we're speaking of here. Now, notice the distinction here. The rich man is in Hades, but there is no report of angels taking him there. He was visited by the death angel. His soul and spirit exited his body, but he found himself in the underworld. He found himself in Hades. Please notice, however, in the other man named Lazarus, that angels, plural, not an angel, but there would have been at least two, carried his soul to paradise. He was also located, paradise, of course, as you know, was called Abraham's bosom in Luke 16. And before the crucifixion of Jesus, it was located inside of the earth, somewhere under the earth, under the crust of the earth. Now, this is the same paradise mentioned in Luke 16 that Jesus referred to when he told the converted thief on the cross who believed in him, "Today you will be with me in paradise," Luke 23:43. So in other words, this paradise existed up until Jesus' resurrection, where at his resurrection he brought the righteous souls out from under the earth and separated them from that Hades chamber that used to exist underneath the earth. Now the Hades chamber is still there, but the righteous chamber has been moved to the third heaven, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now here are the facts. Death entered the earth at the fall of Adam and Eve. Death is both a spiritual and a physical act. See, God said to Adam, if you eat, you're going to die. In fact, Satan said that. You know, God said, you're going to die. You're not going to die. But God said, in the day you eat, you're going to die. He didn't die. Adam actually lived hundreds of years later, but he died spiritually. He died, he was separated from God, which is spiritual death. But later at age 930, Adam died physically. So there's a, death is a, death can be a physical separation from God if you don't go to heaven when you die. And death is definitely a spiritual separation where the soul and spirit is separated from the body. And we have a great teaching on the silver cord next week I want you to see. Now, here's my point. Death has to be an angel. There's no question about it. Death is an angel. And, you know, the thing is that death is also called an enemy of God. And it's the last enemy that will be destroyed in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26. You know, Jesus made this statement in Revelation 1 and 8, "I am he who lives, who was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore." Amen. That means so be it. And then he says this, "I have the keys of hell and death." And once again, if we go back to the Greek word, it's Hades. Hades was a spirit, but also was an underground chamber underneath the earth. Now, when he said, "I have the keys of death and hell," figuratively, he's referring to authority. The authority that Jesus gained over death and over hell was gained when he raised from the dead. He conquered death and he conquered the grave. Isn't that wonderful for believers in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55? Now, let's talk about hell for a moment, because it is a part of this study about seeing the angel of death. Hell is mentioned 23 times, and there are three Greek words in the New Testament that refer to hell. There is the word Gehenna, there is the word Hades, and there is the word Tartarus. So these are three of the main words that are used when the New Testament speaks of hell. So it will say hell, but in 2 Peter 2 and 4, one place it's Tartarus, which was the lowest hell where the fallen angels are. And then you have Hades, which is the general area of hell, and Gehenna, which was a place of fire. But all these words are connected together in the New Testament. Now, here's what you have to understand. When a believer dies, when someone who dies who really knows the Lord, who's had an active relationship with God, death cannot hold the believers in the grave because they are promised a resurrection from the dead. This resurrection is called the dead in Christ. So when Jesus raised from the dead, the Bible said there were seen walking the streets many of the saints which slept. They rose with him. And then he took them to paradise in the third heaven. So the Old Testament saints, many of them have already been raised. Now, the next resurrection is for the dead in Christ. All of those who died in Christ from the thief on, the thief would have been raised with him. We can't count him. But all those who died in Christ after he was resurrected up until the time of the rapture. So that is the dead in Christ. That's the next resurrection, meaning that if you have a mom or dad or a sibling or a loved one or a friend who died active Christian, actively serving the God, loving Jesus, and died free from sin, washed in the blood of the Lamb with their name in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will see them again at the resurrection. The dead in Christ rise first, then we who are alive and remain are caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, at this point, when a Christian dies, they go to the third heaven in paradise. But when a sinner dies, they go to the underworld, the world of fallen angels, the world underneath, what we would call Hades. Now, this is what the Bible says. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were then cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, there will be a judgment called the Great White Throne Judgment, when all of those during the tribulation will be raised from the dead. Those who died on earth, survivors for the 1,000 years, are going to go to the Great White Throne Judgment and be judged by the whether or not their name was in the book of life. That is when death and hell will give up everybody in Hades, and those people will be judged before the throne of God at the Great White Throne Judgment, and they'll be showed why they are separated eternally from the Lord. It's one of the saddest things to think about if you think about it. Now, the angel of death, is there an angel of death? Yes, there is an angel of death. Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 36, God said that he would go through Egypt that night, and there would be a destroying angel. Now, this is what the rabbis call it. It was the destroying angel that would take the life of every firstborn, the cattle, the slaves, and the firstborn son of all the Egyptians living in Egypt. The only way that a person could avoid the death angel from taking their firstborn was the blood of the lamb that was put upon the doorpost at the time of what is called the Exodus. So, we have this idea of a destroying angel, which we would call a death angel. Now, notice in Job chapter 33, verse 22, he says this, his soul draws near to the grave, and his life to the destroyer. Now, in Hebrew, this destroyer would be the death angel. In Proverbs 16, verse 14, it says, the wrath of a king, it talks about the wrath of the king as messengers of death. It speaks about the messengers of death, which in Hebrew is an angel. Messengers is angel. It's an angel there. So he's talking about an angel of death. So the point is that there is an angel, one angel, that is called a death angel. Now someone says, now Perry, if there are six people on an average or seven that die every second, how could a death angel visit all of those people at one time? And the answer is not everybody would be visited by an angel of death. The rich man would be, a sinner would be, but the angel that they would be visited by in a righteous setting would simply be an angel of the Lord. Now, can a person see a death angel? Yes. I have an aunt. Her name was Nora Beva, and my cousin Lulu, who passed away recently, told me the story that her mother saw an angel shrouded in dark that was in the room. and said she described it clearly, but it was the angel of death. She passed away shortly after, but she died a Christian, and she saw her husband and my granddaddy sitting in a bench in heaven talking to each other, and they were laughing. And so she was a dedicated holiness woman and a believer in the Lord, but yet she did see the angel of death. Now, the angel of death had no power over her. Oh, grave, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? But there is an angel of death that people have described seeing as a dark angel, dark hooded, and many of them see them in near-death experiences. Others simply see an angel of the Lord. Now, we do find there was an angel slaying men in Jerusalem in 2 Samuel 24, 15 through 16, in which there was a plague, and I'm going to skip reading the scripture for the sake of time, but there was a plague coming, 70,000 men had died, and the Lord had the death angel put away his sword because the David put a sacrifice on the altar. Now, what about seeing a death angel? This is a true story. And I'm going to abbreviate the story because it's much more detailed. Boyd McLaren was a worker with Brother R.W. Shambach. And this is a story that he told for many years. And I first heard about it over 45 years ago. He was pastoring in the state of Oklahoma many years ago, and he pastored a family with four children. There was a five-year-old beautiful little girl that came down, was born with polio, and it bent her up, and one her leg and her arm was deformed in growth, and she was the sweetest little girl. And so he felt led to go on a long fast for this girl's healing. And he fasted for a period of 13 days, and he really believed that she was going to be healed at the end of the fast. And during that time, he received a call that she had gotten worse at home. So he went over to the house. The mom, the dad, the family was there. And of course, there was, he said, actually, the fire trucks came. A lot of times when in the early days when a call happened like that, that something, someone could be near death or whatever, that happened. And there was other people there. And so they decided to take the young girl, 5 years old, to the hospital. Well, when they got her to the hospital, they took her into an emergency room area. They had her lying there. And at the hospital, and I've got the story here, and instead of reading all of it, I'll just give you the basis of it, that the word came that she was passing away. The polio had taken the best of her, and she was going to pass away. Well, there were two men there that were firemen. They took their hats off, walked out. There was a nurse there. She began to weep. She walked out because she was a precious little girl. And the doctor said, she's passing. We'll leave her with the family. Well, the family was so traumatized by it, they had to take the wife and the daddy to another location because they were weeping. And I know that sounds weird because you'd want to stay with your child, but the pastor was left there right after they had pronounced the child dead. So the mom and dad is gone. The pastor's about to leave, and the Lord turns him around. And they're coming back in. They're getting her prepared, and they have just a few seconds, maybe 30 seconds to a minute before the crew comes in, as you know, to prepare the child for her departure, final departure. And so the pastor asked if he could just pray for a few moments privately, and they said yes. So he stood over the girl, and he began to thank the Lord for her. And then he said, God, I've always wanted to see the soul. Would you allow me to see what happens at death? And he said, when he looked up, there was a presence that came in the room, and he actually saw two dark angels. And he said, this was real. This was not a hallucination. And I looked, and I said, in Jesus' name, you have no right here. This child belongs to Jesus. And he said that all of a sudden, he saw two beams of light come into the room. He is standing near the bed, very close to, not the bed, but the place where she's laying. He's standing very close to that. And as these two beams of light come in, the dark spirits just completely depart. And they are angels of God. They don't have hands. They have wings. And he said, I watched it. And I'm abbreviating the story, by the way. And they turn. They put their wings under the table like this. And when their wings meet, they come through the table. They pick up the spirit of the little girl. And he said, there are two little girls. There's the little girl with polio that has just passed away on the table. And there's a perfect little girl. She looks 5 years old with her body. Her arm is perfect. Her leg is perfect. And she's resting on those angel wings. And the angels smiled. And they went right through the ceiling with her. And she turned to the pastor and smiled. That was the end of it. He broke down shaking and weeping. Of course, the family was informed. Even the doc, of course, doctors and nurses don't always believe those kind of stories. But he said, I was able to see this. He told that story for years. Many, many people who lost family members came to know the Lord. When my dad was dying, let me tell you before you put the picture up, I have a picture. I took three pictures at Life Care Centers of America in Cleveland, Tennessee, when my dad was near the very final stages of death. This is just before, the night before he breathed his last breath. He would pass in the morning. Three pictures. Two of them came out just normal. This one did not come out normal. It is very important to understand that where he was lying, there was no sunlight. There was no lights on as far as a spotlights or anything. The two pictures are normal. The third one came out weird. I want to show you what I believe. And I texted this immediately to my friends, to Tommy Bates and others. He said, the angel of the Lord is getting ready to get him. This light was not in the room. It is light, but it's positioned very strange. I love this picture. My daddy was a believer, a preacher of the gospel, and this is before he went to heaven. Let's bring that picture up right now. There is the picture that I kept on my phone. The light is coming from the left side. I'm standing in the front of the bed. He is completely unconscious. His heart is still beating. He has no awareness that we're in the room at that point, unless maybe he could still hear, and we would pray and so on and so forth. But he went to be with the Lord right after that. And I have no explanation for that light. I know the angels do appear. God's angels appear in linen and brightness. And I don't know that you can ever take a picture of an actual angel, but the light did appear. And Tommy Bates texted me back, and he was shouting in his house saying, the angels of God have come for Fred Stone. And that'll bring you a lot of comfort, I'm sure. Now, I've never seen the angel of death. I've seen demonic spirits that were in hoods and blank faces and things of that nature. But there have people that have seen it. But here's the good news. Grave, where is your victory? Death, where is their sting? When death comes, you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ and know that you're going to heaven and not end up like the rich man. I have a brand new book. You have to read this. I'm imploring you. Watch this right now.
Red Hawk County 911, where is your emergency?
There is a horse trailer and a dually just hit an SUV, drove it all the way across the road.
Okay, yeah, if you could get, just find out if there's any injuries or entrapment.
There's entrapment, I can tell you that right now.
It was 10 o'clock Saturday morning when I FaceTimed my precious second cousin and very dear friend, telling her about my daughter Amanda preparing to trade in her old vehicle for a new one. I did not know it would be my last conversation with my cousin on the earth. Hours later, I received a call that she'd been killed in an intersection in Elkins, West Virginia. For months, I experienced very intense sorrow while wrestling with so many unanswered questions. Why did God allow a 63-year-old woman, a caregiver, with so many future plans to die so suddenly and without warning? For 3 months, I pored over scripture almost day and night for answers. Out of my research and personal grief, I wrote this 209-page book called Why Did You Leave Us So Soon? The Mystery of a Premature Death, to answer my questions and also questions you have asked me over the years. Here's a few chapter titles. There's a time to die and a time not to die. The danger of being with the wrong people at the wrong place at the wrong time. Why are some healed and others are not? Why did one person die yet another person survived the same accident? How does a person break a protective hedge? How Christians can commit a sin unto death. Why do infants suddenly pass away? Does God honor a deathbed repentance? Here's a few more. How sinning Christians can be delivered to the will of Satan. The danger of offending your angel. Suicide and questions about eternity. Why are many Christians sick, weak, and many have died young? Why at times when you need an answer does God seem to say nothing? That's only 12 of the 22 chapters in the book. I want to say this, if you've ever lost a loved one to death and you had many unanswered questions, I hope you will order this book. It answers numerous confusing questions about the mystery of why people seem to die before their time. It will also teach you the biblical principles of learning how to discern coming danger and pray against it. That's a very important part of this book as well. When you order this new book, I'm including a very powerful audio CD that my dad said to me before he passed away. Perry, let people hear this. It's one of the most important messages I've ever heard. Don't go to hell over a mystery. You can call 1-888-21-BREAD or order online at perrystone.org or request offer WWS-146 and include $30 by writing Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320. Again, that's offer WWS-146. You may not need this book now, but you may need it in the future. I hope you'll order it today. I have behind me a picture of a clock on a digital screen. And I just want to say to those of you who are watching me, time is running out. A lot of times we as Christians who are living think about the return of the Lord, and we know the Lord's coming. But one thing we never think about, we really don't, unless we're up there in years, 85, 90, 95 years of age, is that we could go into eternity that quick. We plan for tomorrow, we plan for today, but man, we don't know when we're going. And there are many people that have passed away at an early age, in their 20s, children, people that were 30, 40 years of age. And it is a question that people have had, why did the Lord let them pass so early? That's why I wrote this book. And I've told you a little bit about it, and I want you to get this book. And with the book, it's over 200 pages, comes the message called Don't Go to Hell Over a Mystery. A great, amazing story there. And also the password that you're going to get with the book that will give you access to watch me share with you a very, very special message. And that's for you that order the material. I want you to understand that the material that we offer you helps us to keep the Manifest telecast around the world. All this books, I wrote the book, printed the book, the ministry did. We don't get royalties of any kind from any of the material like this that goes out, nothing like that. It all goes back to Voice of Evangelism Ministry, and I want you to know that. We will be coming to some churches. I'm going to read this to you, and I want you to just, hopefully you can get there. February 12th through the 16th, Lamarck, Texas. Now, guys, mark your calendar. Come at least a day. Drive in for that. 12th through the 16th, and that's Abundant Life Christian Center, Walter Hallam, the pastor. Mosaic Church, Pastor Anthony Daly in Clarksville, Tennessee, which will be February 22nd and the 23rd. House of Prayer International, Pastor Ron Brown, March the 14th, 15th, and 16th. That's in Monroe, Louisiana, by the way. And I'd love to have you join us there. And don't forget our Warrior Fest. Now, we also are opening up the registration for the International Prophetic Summit. That is coming up. So all the adults that come to that, get ready to register. Be sure you check your hotel rooms first. There's hotels information on our website. And also there's hotels in Athens. There's hotels in Ottawa. So we've got a big variety of hotels for you to come to the summit. We're looking forward to you being there. John Kilpatrick is also joining the team at the summit. And I know you're going to enjoy hearing him preach as well. God bless you. We'll see you next week.